And it sounded great what was happening, what God was saying. And you know, we're in a time where God is working in our hearts and just opening us up for everything that He's doing, the people that we're reaching out to, with lives that are in all kinds of situations, all kind of conditions. And God is opening our hearts up and our lives up to just be ready and available for any kind of given situations that He wants to bring into our lives or across our lives, but people that are really on His heart to bring His life into. Now, we have... Hopefully I'm going to share what's in my heart in the right way today, this morning, or communicate it in the right way. This week is National Marriage Week. And it started officially on Friday and ends this Friday, 9th to the 16th of February. And we're not necessarily a church for keeping certain things or certain kind of this is going on, so let's talk about it. But we can see from recent events in the news that a lot of our values as a nation historically are being eroded, undermined, and being attacked at this time. And part of what we stand for as a church is to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that we want to see God's kingdom rule and reign re-established in our nation, and that people really do return to living according to the Word of God. Yes. And the truth that is in the Word, and what God has set down in the Word that defines and designs the order and the way in which He's called us to live as people and as a society. Because God knows, and that's why He's described it all in His Word, that if we live according to His Word, then we will prosper as a nation, and we will prosper as individuals in our relationships, in family, in life, in every aspect. If we live according to the Word of God, we will live in health, we will live in security. We will live in the overflow of His abundant life. God's goodness and grace will be evident in the life of the nation. But when we turn against God, or we, let's use this word, prostitute ourselves against God and live lives in a way that suit us, please us as a nation, that is, then it causes God's hand to be withheld off the nation, and we cannot live in the goodness of God and in the fullness of God in the way that He intends. Now, in John 10:10, it says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "Well, I've come to give life and life in all its fullness." Everything God does has intention. Everything He does has a purpose. God does not do anything by accident. God doesn't do anything without thinking about it, without thoughtfulness, and without reason as to why He is doing what He is doing and what it will lead to. God plans everything He does. There is nothing that He has not planned to do without thinking it through, deciding how He wants to do it, and then communicating that to the body of Christ so that we will then live out, walk out the purposes of God. So we need to have a listening ear. We need to know what the Word is. We need to know how to live in these days that we're in. But we need to understand that God is an intentional God. That He is a God who plans, a God who does not do anything by accident. Therefore, He wants us to live our lives in a very intentional way. He wants us to live our lives not just by accident, not just let's see what comes, but He has called us to be people who have a focus, people who have a purpose, people of intention, people of planning, people who know where they're going, what they're heading for, and why we do what we do, why we decide what we decide, why we live the way we do, the choices we make, why we do all of these things. Why do we want to be so robust in the way that we praise God and worship God? Why? Because we want to be very, very decisive, very, very intentional, full of purpose in everything we do, that if we're going to praise God, then we really praise God without compromising. If we worship, then we're going to worship God with everything we have. Because in that process of praising God, worshiping God, giving ourselves to Him in that way, then that helps to define the way we will live our life, the intention we live, the way we make decisions, how hot we are in our own lives about ourselves and about what we're responsible for. That if we give to God with intention, if we understand that we praise God with everything we have, we worship Him with everything we have in this moment, in this environment, then that helps us to make a decision, and a way that we live will affect the everyday choices of our life. Now, why do we talk like this? Because there are so many pressures around in society at the moment that are saying you cannot believe what you believe because that infringes my human rights. Or you cannot say what you're saying because I disagree with that and that upsets me because that touches on the way I'm living my life. And therefore, that offends me or causes me a problem. Now, God is speaking to us about love for people. He's working in us about love for people. So, in one sense, we need to understand we're not coming against people, because it says in John 10:10 that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he works that out, manifests that out in different ways in society. In Genesis 2, let's just go there for a minute and get into the word, and then we'll carry on. Otherwise, I'll start ranting and raving about stuff. Genesis chapter 2, we know that God has created Adam, and He brings all the animals to Him, and Adam names them all, and amazing capacity that He names every animal that's on the planet. And then it says in, but no suitable helper could be found. Second half of verse 20, it says that. And then 21, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, He took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib He had taken out of the man, and He brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Now, God has set certain laws in place. There are many laws God has put in place. There's the law of gravity. That is a law that He's put in place. You throw something in the air, it will come down. What else has He set in place? Night and day. These are things that we cannot stop. There will be night and there will be day. That happen. There will be seasons of time, winter, spring, summer, autumn, and that whole cycle continues round. There are certain laws God has put in place that everything should function in the right way and there will be right order. Sowing and reaping is another law that God has put in place. What you sow, you will reap. If you sow hatred, you will reap hatred. If you sow forgiveness, you will receive forgiveness. If you sow love, you will receive love. Whatever you sow, you will reap. There are certain laws that God has put in place, and if we live by those laws, then we will live in the good of everything God has. Another law that God has put in place, we've just read, that God created man for woman and woman for man. There are laws that God has put in place, and that is one of them that is very evident. And as we, if we step outside of man for woman and woman for man in terms of lifestyle and certain choices, then we step outside the purpose of God. We step outside the goodness of God, and we actually cause the wrath of God to begin to come towards us as a nation. I don't want to preach a heavy, you know, wrath job here. But God has called us not to defend ourselves and to defend a position, but God has called us to live something that demonstrates the kingdom life. And so we're not here just to say a lot of words and to say what we disagree with and what we don't like and, you know, what this group's doing or what the government's doing. We want to be more proactive than just saying things that disagree with anything. We want to demonstrate a kingdom life that shows an abundance of life, that shows a life that is full of, is fulfilled, a life that people envy because of what is manifested from our lives and what God wants to do in us and through us. Now, God's intention right at the beginning of creation here is that he created woman out of man and that they became one flesh. And it says that the man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. So right at the beginning of scripture, right at the beginning of creation, God had designed marriage. Man and a woman to come together. And Paul talks about it being a holy mystery. I was chatting to somebody the other day who's getting married in a couple of months' time. And, you know, I said, it's an amazing mystery that before you get married, because God's order is that sex is to be within a marriage relationship, that before you get married, if there's that kind of involvement in a relationship, it's outside of God's purpose, and effectively, in the Bible, it's called sin. If to put it this way, it's not right, it's unrighteous. But yet, on your wedding day, when you stand facing one another, standing before God, before family and friends, and you say certain words, you're making a covenant with that other person, and you're publicly declaring your intention, for better, for worse, sickness and in health, till death us do part, and all the other things that are in there, that at that moment, there's a holy mystery that goes on. That through those words that are publicly said to each other and with others present, something happens before God that then two people can be united and become one in spirit and in flesh, as it were. And now that relationship is right before God because two people step into the order that God has purposed. Now, something supernatural happens at that moment of marriage. Something happens. There's a proverb, isn't there? Proverbs 18:22. Whatever it says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and he receives favor from the Lord. Something happens at that moment that is a holy mystery. And then suddenly from that day onwards, there is a rightness about two people becoming one before God. There is no shame. There is no guilt because people have stepped into God's order. Now, why are we, I know you know all this, why are we talking in these terms? Because the church, primarily, is the place, God's people, is the place where things are going to have to be defined in society in a new way. It's not just holding on to certain values that we believe are important, but it's living something that demonstrates God's relationship with who we are as people. Because the church is the bride of Christ. Jesus is the bridegroom. And one day we're going to be united with him and live forever. And there are pressures on our society that are undermining the truth, undermining God's order. And even to this point now where laws are being made that actually if we live out what we believe, increasingly it's going to become illegal according to some of the laws that are being made. And so there are pressures, realities beginning to arrive within our shores that we've not had to deal with before, that maybe even only 5 years ago or certainly 10 years ago we would think, well, those kind of things would never happen in our nation because we're this kind of nation and things will never get to that point. But now, certain things are being legalized now. So therefore, if we say certain things, do certain things, live certain things, believe certain things, follow through certain things, increasingly they'll become possibly illegal in a greater way. So what do we do? Kind of interesting times, aren't they? God has called us to, as a church, or the church, to be prophetic in the way that we live. Some of you might not be married yet. Some of you might be about to be married. Some of you might be married for a long time. I mean, it'd be interesting to find out, actually, who's been married the longest here this morning. Has anybody been married more than 20 years this morning? More than 30 years? Oh, a few less hands. More than 35? More than 40? More than 41? 42? 43? 44? 45? 46? 47? 48? 50? 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 57. 54 years. Cheers, cheers. Would you like just to come down here? I think we should just congratulate her, don't you? That you've been married for 54 years. No.
You know we've got to break our hearts for the world, haven't we? Right. Yeah.
Right, isn't it? Cool. Some of you aren't even 54 years. Well, I'm not even, I think. 54 years of marriage, that's, you know. We're next month we'd have been married for 20 years, weren't we? Which is cool. So we were 12 when we got married. So we. Okay, now we just want to find out who's been married the short. When I say the shortest, I don't mean who's got married and you've only been married like a month or 2 months or 3 months. Who's been married the? So anybody got married in the last month? The last 2 months? 3 months? You got married in the last 3 months? Sorry? You, when?
3 months yesterday.
3 months yesterday. Well, come down here. We'd like to give you a bunch of flowers as well. You've only been married a few months, but... Bless you. All right. Cool. Whether somebody's been married a couple of days or 54 years, we want to celebrate what God intends, what God has put into place, because we don't want to defend and become defensive about what we believe. We want to be full of intention and celebrate who we are, what we believe, the life that God has given us. Even within a society that is crowding around and pressurizing us to think differently, believe differently, to live differently, and to make choices that will cause us ultimately to compromise. Now, just want to say a couple of things. I went on this website yesterday, because this is National Marriage Week, went on this website called National Marriage Week, and... God wants what happens in the church to affect society. And he wants to roll out the life that we have into the everyday situations of people's lives. And down in Bath, the civic leaders and the religious leaders have joined together, and basically they're just about this week set to make history that it will be the first... community marriage policy where the local authority and the church have joined together to promote marriage in the community. And it's great. There's 25 church leaders along with the local authorities that are have put this document together and the statement together. And they're promoting everything from marriage preparation to... What it means to really be married, to marriage backup and support. And that, in one sense, is a bit of a statement to the rest of the nation. Now, there are other cities and towns that are going to be following suit as well, where that the church has engaged with the local authority in a proactive way and said, we need to actually promote marriage. We need to promote what God has put in place for society because of the benefits that happen. Now, if the devil wants to erode society, he will go to the foundations. And one of those foundations in society is marriage. And everything that leads from that, you know, if he can erode a marriage, he erodes relationships, breakdown of family life, it causes offense, it causes hurt and grief, all kinds of things that follow from that. And we see the effects of those things in society now. And it says here that one of the guys behind this, who's the chairman of this newly formed association, says Britain has now become the divorce and family breakdown capital of Europe. We can continue destroying our communities by taking family breakdown for granted, or we can do something positive to support couples and prevent things getting worse. Then it says, although this is the first in the UK, over 160 cities in the USA have now signed similar policies. Divorce rates have subsequently fallen in those cities that publish divorce statistics, often within a year of putting this into place. Then it even says here, some cities have now reduced divorce rates by up to 50%. Now, what does that mean? It means the church is engaging in a much more proactive way in society and actually saying, hey, there needs to be a change here. Something needs to happen. Now, for us here, we're in the process of developing the whole kind of marriage ministry, and that is going on, and there's a marriage course that's going to be starting in a few weeks' time. But part of the vision of the marriage ministry is what we've just talked about, is to engage with the local authorities to actually set up a partnership with the church and with the local authority to promote marriage in the local community and all the benefits that go with it. Now, some information that I found on this website is that the state spends £15 billion a year dealing with the fallout of broken marriages. Yet for every £3,000 spent on a family breakdown, only £1 is actually spent trying to keep families together. So that's quite a proportion. So the annual budget for this year for the government to promote marriage is £5 million. But yet they're spending £15 billion on trying to sort things out. Now, we know, we are sitting here and we know what the answer is. And I don't know what you think about this one. It might not be the most spiritual revival message on the planet, but as when I've been praying, and what God's been saying to us, he's wanting to make the way we're living so real and earth it, but with the power of the Holy Spirit just flowing through what is going on to engage and to change, invade our society in a greater way. And so part of the vision of the whole marriage ministry here is to engage with the local community and see this same thing develop, okay? It actually came out of what Mike and Wendy Kimball have been involved in anyway, in terms of the marriage resource, and that initiated this whole National Marriage Week and actually initiated all this marriage policy with the local authorities in Bath. So they've been involved with that kind of process anyway, and we want to see that really established in our town, in our own city here, in our own locality, across the 25-mile radius. There's all sorts of things I've written down here. But if you go, there's three websites you can go to, okay, if you want to check out some information. If you just go to one of these, and then you'll be able to go to any of these others from there. But if you go to www.marriageresource.org.uk, if you go to that site, you'll find other sites you can go to that just give you some information on positive things that are happening because of this marriage policy we've seen. Also give you some statistics. We'll give you some things that the government are saying about marriage. And I don't want to get political this morning. But at the end of the day, we need a move of God. We need revival in our nation to see everything transformed. This is just one aspect of what we're about. Why does God want us to be very intentional in what we do? Because if we are not, somebody else's intentions will overtake ours. Somebody else's plans will overtake ours. And if you're married here this morning, I believe God wants us to be as very, very intentional in the way that we build our relationships, build our marriages, and give into that. To promote your wife, your husband, to want the best for them in every sense, to be very quick to deal with issues that could arise, to be very quick to forgive, very quick to keep short accounts and in our marriage relationships, because that will keep our marriages strong. We don't let things build up, we don't hide things behind, but we live in open way, we're honest. And one of the things that this National Marriage Week is that they've kind of done what they call the 10-minute challenge. And look, for many people, they're married, especially when you get kids and life gets busy. So much of your life can be around organizing everything that you're doing. What you're doing, what your wife's doing, or the other way around, or what your kids are doing, what they're involved in, school and clubs and this and that and the other. Then you chuck into that church life and all of the stuff that goes on that is involved in church life. And before you know where you are, you can be so busy organizing and doing this that you don't necessarily really talk about anything. And so part of this week, maybe those of you who are married and those of you who are you're engaged or something, about to be married, maybe you could do the 10-minute challenge every day for this week. And the 10-minute challenge is to stop everything for 10 minutes and spend that time with face-to-face discussion about either something that is going on topically at the moment in the news, but maybe more important, just to talk about something in your life together or your family life together that you wouldn't normally just stop and talk about, and take 10 minutes to put everything on hold and communicate. As in two-way communication. Because one can talk, but if the other's not listening, there's no communication, right? Yeah? Or vice versa, you know, there's got to be both people talking, both people listening, and both people actually responding and understanding, listening, communicating about what is being said. Not one person communicating one thing and the other person not really wanting to listen to that but communicate something else. That's not communicating, that's called arguing. And we want to communicate to each other. So if you are married here, you know, do the 10-minute challenge as has been put down this week. And maybe talk, sit down, put everything on hold and just say, right, okay, what are we going to talk about for 10 minutes? Now, if you sit there and you really don't know what to talk about, don't just ring the pastoral office and say, we just don't know what to talk about. We need some help here. If you don't know what to talk about, maybe take 5 minutes, go off in there and think, now what do I actually want to say to my wife? What do I want to say to my husband? And then come back and hopefully you'll have something to talk about, communicate. Maybe you could spend 5 minutes each, 5 minutes telling your wife just what an amazing woman of God she is. Hopefully you'll be able to talk for 5 minutes at least. And maybe as wives, you could say to your husband, what an awesome man of God you've got as a husband. Be quiet, you know. Imagine for the next week, you have to do that. That 10 minutes, you're just telling the other person what you think about them in a positive way. One of the tips here was focus on the bright side. There's a song there, isn't there? Look on the bright side of life, but focus on the bright side, not on all the things that bug you. There's another little tip here that says, edit yourself. Avoid all the things that could be negative that would wind the other person up. Instead, focus on the things that will cause you to be happy. What we've put after this is like, here's the forgiveness barometer. If you've got to speak something, talk to the other person, what you like to bring up, the things that you drag up from the past because you want to get, you know, or have you forgiven, let go and moved on? So there's like a bit of a forgiveness barometer going on there. But there's all kinds of things. This isn't supposed to be a practical marriage thing this morning. It's partly God has called us as the church to live as prophetic people. Amen. And our relationships demonstrate something that God wants the world to be envious of. And our marriages are a prime example. Just turn to Jeremiah 33. I think Jane actually read this out last week, or used this when she was speaking. In our town, part of our vision is to see a household saved on every street in our town. That there's a representation of God's kingdom life on every street in the town of Horsham. And then Crawley, on every street that there is a household demonstrating God's kingdom life. In every town that we move out into, the same thing. What does it say in Jeremiah 33 here, in verse 10 and 11? This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is a desolate waste without men or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither men nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bride and the bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. God is seeing our towns as places that resound with his life and with his joy. That on every street in our town and the towns that we are represented from will have the sound of the bride and the bridegroom, will have the sound of God's purposes being lived out and demonstrated in everyday situations. In Psalm 65, verse 11, it will say a different thing depending on what your translation is, but in the NIV, verse 11 says, you crown the year with your bounty and your carts overflow with abundance. In the New Living Translation, it actually talks about the second half of the verse, not your carts will overflow, but your hard pathways will... What does it say? Your hard pathways will overflow. What are pathways? They're pavements, streets. So God is promising and speaking about our pathways, our streets, overflowing with his abundance. We are a good news church. God is a good news God. The devil wants to try and get God to be seen as a bad news God, restrictive God, one who wants to shut people's lives down and put restrictions on them. But we know that God is a God of freedom. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. That God has set his laws and word in place to enable us to have fullness of life. And as you look at every relationship, every friend that you have, especially those that are unsaved, those you're reaching out to, God wants you to see them as people's lives where he wants to establish that overflowing life, that where there might be a pathway of hardness at this moment in their life, that God wants to turn that into a place of abundance and overflowing life of joy. That's how he wants us to see the people that we're reaching out to. That's how he wants to see the society that we live in. That we don't see with natural eyes and join in all the negative stuff that's being said and promoted through the media in different ways. That we don't even come against it just defending our own position. But we actually proactively live and demonstrate with the power of the Holy Spirit the life that he's called us to live. That's why with things in our lives, let's be quick to deal with sin. Let's be quick to deal with anything that could upset us. Let's be quick to deal with anything that could offend us. Let's be quick. Let's grow up and mature beyond those things, those sleepers in the road, if you like. You can come up to and stop and think, well, what do I do is a sleeper in the road. Well, we just drive straight over the thing. Because we're a people of intention, because we're a people of purpose, because we're going for something that the world cannot see at the moment, and we can't even see in the natural, but we know because of what God has said, we know the spiritual reality of it, we see it in the spirit, and that's why we live like we do, go after the things we do, make the choices we do, love the way we do, give the way we do, without any condition. It's time to get cooking. Somebody got married here yesterday, Neil Curry, one of the leaders of King's Church, a great, great wedding. And it was great to see him get married. And the guy who was speaking just said, he said, marriage is like a barbecue. He said, at first it's all flames, you know, it's all flames and everything. And he said, and then it settles down, and you see the real heat, and then you can get cooking. That's a great illustration, isn't it? When you see people get married, there's a lot of flames, a lot of, you know, and all that. But then you see the real heat coming over the years, and you really then see the cooking of that real marriage in terms of the fruit that begins to come out of it, the life that begins to come out of it. You look at families that are growing up in God, and you just see the way the kids are growing up, and you just see what God is cooking in that marriage and in that kind of relationship. And we are called as the church to bring that stability into society, to bring that foundation back into society, and that we need to be very intentional in the way that we do it. We have so much of God's goodness as believers. And the world hasn't got a clue of the goodness that there is in God. What for us is just common sense. You know, you hear things on the news, you hear the way people talk about things, and you think, man, it's obvious, isn't it, what the right answer is? And for us, it's just common sense. For the world is either stupid or foolish, or they just don't see it because they're blind. Let's all stand, shall we? We're going to pray. And particularly, I'm going to pray for all those that are married, just where you are this morning. We want to see every person in the church thrive in the things of God. Whatever season you're in your life, God wants you to thrive at this time in your life. However old you are, whatever season you're in, whatever you've been through, this is a season to thrive in the things of God. What does thrive mean? Thrive means to do well. Thrive means to be over the top. To thrive means to go beyond what you've seen before. To thrive means to be fruitful. To thrive means to be overflowing with something. You know, to thrive means to be bubbling over with what you have. God has called us to thrive as the people of God. And so if you're married this morning, God has called your marriage to thrive, and for that to be a prophetic demonstration of the relationship that God has with us as the church, of that intimacy, that mystery of God living in our lives, somehow that miracle of repentance and faith that happens, that for Him to come and live into our life, that we become one with Him. So let's just pray, shall we? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just whatever season you're in, thank Him for it, that He's called you to thrive right now. Particularly those that are married, that you're married, not just married at this time, but you are married, and thank Him for the privilege of being married. Just thank Him for the anointing that is upon your life and the favor that is upon your life, as it says in the Word there, he who finds a wife finds his good, what is good, and he receives favor from the Lord. That's extravagant grace, the favor of God. There's a favor of God on your life to be married. There's a favor of God on your life to prosper in your marriage. There's the favor of God on your life to be a demonstration of love, of how Christ loved the church. Your marriage is to demonstrate how Christ loved the church, that it was selfless. It was abundant. It was going beyond what was required. It was a relationship that gave that wasn't based on what I received, but it was based on I want to give and sow into this. I'm going to give without condition. Just thank Him that you have the opportunity to live out that kind of relationship, to give to your husband or wife selflessly, without condition, in an unlimited measure. That you can demonstrate that in front of your kids, you can demonstrate that in front of your friends, in those that you know. Whether they are, whatever stage of life, whether people are married yet or not, the relationships we have are to demonstrate God's kingdom life. So Father, I thank you right now. If you're married, just raise your hands in the air wherever you are. Father, I thank you for the grace right now upon every person that is married here to demonstrate that relationship of Christ loving the church in their married life. Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming upon them afresh right now to deal with issues, to get stuff worked out, to keep short accounts, to let go of anything that has taken place that might be happening at the moment, to break off any way in which the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. We just cut off right now every work of the enemy where he's seeking to undermine, where he's seeking to erode in any marriage relationships in this church. We just cut that thing off right now. We come against every demonic activity that undermines the purposes of God. And we say, you will not have any victory in any marriage in this church. And we just declare over every marriage right now to prosper, to thrive, and to overflow in abundance of God's life and God's purpose for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you've called us as a church to be a prophetic people. To live our lives and our relationships, whatever relationships we have, that our relationships be a demonstration of how we love one another. How relationships are based on giving and not just receiving. They're based on sowing, not just reaping. They're based on unconditional love, not on conditional love. Father, I thank you just for your anointing right now. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. To thrive in marriage. To thrive in family life. Father, we just thank you that as the whole marriage ministry develops, you give us favor with the local authorities. And that they will see the evidence statistically, but also the fruit of marriage and what it brings in terms of the stability in society, that foundation. Father, I thank you for favor in this town, in this area, to set up these same things where we partner with the local authorities to promote your purpose, your order in Horsham, in Crawley, in the 25-mile radius. You said, Father, as we go out into these different towns and different areas, that you said that you would give us favor with local authorities in these places. So, Father, we're going to move forward in those things, and we're just expecting doors to open and things to happen, Father, because we're just being obedient to what you've said. So, Father, I thank you and I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just thank him. Thank you, Father.